filling in for my brother Greg Steigelman. Pray for him. He's in the mission field. He's in the Ezekiel Project School of Evangelism. This is their summer tour, and they are hitting Atlanta, Georgia, Chicago, New York City, and San Francisco. So pray for the team that's out preaching in the field. The mission field is here in America now. It's not overseas anymore. This is the pagan place to be now. So pray for Greg and Chris and the rest of the gang. Tom Bell couldn't be there. I think he's traveling with them also. I'm not sure who's on the team this year. So we want to pray for them. Actually, let's just pray for them now. Father, we pray for the Ezekiel Project right now, that they are in the field and preaching this afternoon probably. And we pray that you'd help them with the spiritual warfare that goes on with preaching, the physical ailments that the devil attacks with, and the flesh that comes along with it. Pray for a powerful gospel out there, and that souls would turn to the Lord Jesus, accept the gift of eternal life. Pray for my brother's health out there, in Jesus' name, amen. So we called a bunch of preachers, and they're all booked, so this is when you usually see me. I was thinking about some things today. I had a short, didn't have very much time to prepare for a message, but how many of you thought about death today? Anybody think about death on their way here today? I thought about death today. Tomorrow my dad's birthday is, you know, and it'd be like 4 months coming up that he died. So I've been thinking about death a lot. So, you know, death, I thought about death all night. I haven't slept much either this week. And one thing about death, it has no manners. I noticed that. It has no manners at all. And it has no consideration for nobody. It is the interrupter of all things. It'll interrupt your wedding. It'll interrupt Christmas. It has no manners at all. It is the most interruption there is death. It absolutely has zero manners. And I thought about something when Steve was here. He goes, he was going to call Mr. Green, you know, speaking of the devil. And something went through my mind when he said that. The devil's here. He's here every Sunday. Actually, he was here last night. He got here early. He flooded the basement. So where two or more gathered in his name, there the Lord is in the midst, but so is the devil. He is on the preacher, and he is on the audience every single Sunday. Because there's a spiritual warfare going on behind the scenes here for souls. And that's what it's all about. It's about my soul and your soul. And that's what's going on with this world. You look around this world and say, what in the world is going on here? That's what's going on. There is a battle for the souls of men and women and children. That's what's going on, in case you didn't know that. Another thing about the devil I was thinking about is he's pretty interesting. I was talking to somebody the other day about my dad dying. He goes, well, that's a part of life. You know, I always thought that until the Holy Spirit woke me up this morning after I got out of the shower. And that's another one. You know, the angel is called, the devil is called, he transforms himself as the angel of light. That's one of the things he can do, you know. And that's one of his lies, you know. Jesus called him the father of lies. When he speaketh the lie. Because, you know, I always thought that, that death is a part of life. But you know what? That's a lie. And it's right from the devil. And it just finally dawned on me today. Death is a part of sin. It's not a part of life. The wages of sin is death. So the next time somebody says death is a part of life, you tell them, no, it's not. It's part of sin. It's got nothing to do with light. I had a couple thoughts today. Anybody ever see the Ten Commandments movie? That Ten Commandments movie. One of my favorites. One of your favorites. You got to have about 5 hours to watch it. Thought we'd just take a couple simple gospel truths from one of the stories of the Ten Commandments today. And that'll be found in the book of Exodus. That's the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. And we are in chapter 9. A couple simple gospel truths. This one goes up to my dad. Exodus chapter 9. I will start reading in verse 18. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to their houses. But he who regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, on every herb, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field, and it broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. The first thing we see in this passage is the promise of judgment. The promise of judgment. In verse 18, God says, I will cause. That's what God says. I will cause. God will cause a very grievous hail to fall in the land of Egypt. Hebrews 9:22 said, it is appointed unto a man once to die, and then the judgment. Acts 17:30 and 31, and the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now he has commanded all men to repent, because he has a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man Jesus, who he ordained. Revelation 20:12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Doesn't matter if you're rich, doesn't matter if you're poor, doesn't matter if you're famous. It says, I saw the great and the small stand before the throne of God. That's what it says. They're all there, the rich, the poor, and the famous. They're standing in front of God. And why are they standing there? Because of their sin. Because the wages of sin is death, like we said earlier. That's why they're there. That's why God will have to send the hail, because there's sin in the land of Egypt. And sin needs to be punished. See, we have a problem with God. He's holy. We're not. We see sin tarnished. He don't. He has to judge sin. We have to overlook it. So he says that John sees a vision, and he sees the small and the great stand before God, and the books were open, and there was another book, which is the book of life, and they were judged according to their works. There's a lot of people who are working their way to heaven right now. I didn't say that. God did. He's the one judging their works, not me. They'll be judged by books, whether this is a metaphor or it's a literal book, I don't know. But it doesn't matter because God is omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent and all the things we're not. He knows who's standing in front of there. And he's going to judge their works. And they're going to get an opportunity to explain to him why they didn't receive the free gift of eternal life. Because time and space does not matter with him as it matters with you and it matters with me. Because it's appointed unto a man once to die and then the judgment. There's two judgments, you know. The first one starts with the Christian. It's the judgment seat of Christ. Don't think any of us Christians in here are going to escape that. He knows exactly what you're doing and exactly what I'm doing, and you will be judged for it. And then there's the unbeliever who stands right here at the great white throne of judgment. He does not enter into heaven because he has not received the free gift of eternal life, which is only found through Jesus Christ our Lord. But that's not why he's going to hell. He's not going there because of his sins. You see, because his sins were paid for on Calvary's cross. Jesus paid for your sin and my sin and everybody else's sin. That is already taken care of. They're standing here because they rejected the free gift of eternal life. That's why people go to hell, you know. It's not that their sins. Their sins are forgiven. They go to hell because they've rejected the free gift of eternal life. It says that their names, he looked through the books and he judged them by their works. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm going to tell you something that's going to surprise you today. Whether you're a believer or not, your name is in the book of life right now. Did you know that? You probably didn't even know that. But it is. It's interesting, isn't it? This is what separates us free grace speakers from Calvinists. Because it's your responsibility to make sure that your name stays in that book. Did you know that? It's your responsibility. Because in Revelation 3:5, Jesus says this, "And I will... He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life." You see, your name's in the book of life, because if it wasn't, it could never be blotted out. But when you reject the Lord Jesus, there's a time, I don't know, but he knows, because he is omniscient, that your name has been blotted out of the book of life. He knows that you are never going to turn to him. I don't know these things. But he knows these things. And you will stand in front of him and he will search the book of life and you will say this, "You can't send me here. My name was never in that book." He'll say, "Oh yes, it was. It was right here. And this is where you heard the gospel message of my free gift of eternal life. And this is times and times and times and times you rejected me. And this was the day that I blotted it out." I hope that's not today for you. I hope today you receive the free gift of eternal life. It's nothing you can do. It's everything he's already done. Because the Holy Spirit does not have to prick your heart more than one time. He's not obligated to do that. You know, the devil only thought of sin and it was the end of him. So don't think God owes you an apology, because he doesn't. The promise of judgment. The next thing is the pledge of certainty. Notice the certainty. "Behold, tomorrow," about this time, tomorrow. Today you have the opportunity to accept the free gift of eternal life. Tomorrow, well, guess what's happening tomorrow? Tomorrow the hail's coming. There's judgment coming tomorrow. Maybe not, but maybe so. In this case, judgment came tomorrow at the same time. Might have been around this time. We don't know. But there was a pledge of certainty. God says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Tomorrow the hail is coming. The Bible says, how shall you escape if you neglect such a great salvation? How are you going to escape it? You can't hide. He says, behold, tomorrow. That word behold means to look into. It's the same word as behold the Lamb of God. It means to examine, to look on intensely, to pay close attention, to listen. You need to listen. Jesus often said, he who has an ear, let him hear. You have an ear? Need to listen. This is the message of God. It was preached long ago by Moses. The pledge of certainty. Behold, listen very closely tomorrow about this time. The hail's coming. It brings us to a plea to escape in verse 19. Send therefore now. God says now, not later. Send therefore now. That's why Greg can't be here. Greg's in Atlanta preaching the gospel. Send for now and gather thy cattle and all that is in the field. Why? Because the hail is coming, it says. That's why. You know, Egypt in the Bible in these days is a picture of the world. Did you know that? It's a picture of this present day. And so is a field. The field is a picture of the world too. You need to gather now. The storm of judgment is coming. And you're in the darkness of Egypt if you're not saved. And you're in a field. You're exposed in a field. There's no shelter. You can't hide. You can't hide in a field. That's why he says to send forth now and gather. Gather now. Right now. That's what you need to do. You're in darkness. You're in Egypt. You're in a field. And you need a place of safety. It brings us to our next point. A place of safety. You need to be brought home, verse 19. You're in the fields of Egypt, and you need to be brought home. All we are like sheep and gone astray. Everyone has gone his own way. Every single one of us has gone our own way. We're like sheep gone astray in a field. And there's a judgment coming, and in this case, there's hail coming. Very grievous hail. Salvation is found in a person, not in a religion. Religion is Satan's smokescreen, you know. Salvation is trusting Jesus to take you home and nothing else. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to sign anything. You just have to trust in him to take you home. That's what they have to do. He's a solid rock. He's a place of refuge. And it's either home or it's hail. It's your choice. There's a passion of urgency. Send therefore now. Notice the urgency. Send for now. When do you plan to get saved or get back to the Lord? Tomorrow? Tomorrow the hail's coming. You need to send forth now, not tomorrow. Tomorrow the Lord could come. That's why he says to send forth now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Proverbs says, boast not for tomorrow, for you do not know what a day shall bring forth. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring. There are a lot of pleasures in Egypt. The Bible says that the pleasures of sin is but for a season. There's fun in sin, but it's only for a season, the Bible says. After that are the consequences and the ramifications of sin. It's an interesting story. A man was standing on Niagara Falls. He saw a float of an eagle floating on a dead carcass, eating it. And as it was floating down there, the man was intrigued by this because he noticed that the eagle was getting closer to the edge of the falls. And the eagle seemed to look up and look around and say, I don't see any danger. I'll take flight soon before I go over the falls. But there was a problem that the eagle didn't realize. It was December. In the mist of the falls, the water was misting up on his feathers. They began to freeze. As he got closer to the edge, he began to beat his mighty wings, and he couldn't take off. And he went over the falls. It's interesting. And why is it that when we hear the word of God, we continue to feed on the dead carcasses of this world? Feeding our sinful desires of the things of this world and catering to the death of the flesh until it's too late. I'm guilty of all these things, you know. I'm a procrastinator myself. I fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind, knowing that the judgment is coming. Because it is coming. Whether you like it or not, it's coming. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Look at verse 20. These are the protected people. See, this story was told long ago. This is not a made-up story. This is a story that was told long ago by Moses. And some of the people of Pharaoh's servants listened to the word of God. See, salvation is for everybody. It just wasn't for the Jews. It was for also the servants of Pharaoh and all the Egyptians, just like us. We're Egyptians, you know. Everyone in this room except for my wife is an Egyptian. She's a Jew. But we're Egyptians. But the Lord offers His grace to us too. It says, he that feared the word of the Lord, because you need to flee, because you can't hide. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. You can be sure of that. Your sin will find you out. A Muslim said, you Christians take the Bible seriously. I said, yes. That's how you get saved. Believe the word of God and what it says. That's how you get saved. Of course, that's why I believe the Bible seriously, I said. That's how I got saved. It's interesting. The judgment will start with the Christians first. It always starts with the house of God, and then it moves on to the unbelievers. This is like a twofold message, you know. It's for us and for unbelievers. But it will start with us, and it will finish with them. But notice those who feared the word of the Lord, they gathered their stuff and their loved ones and their belongings, and they went home. They feared the word of the Lord. They listened to the word of the Lord. They sent forth, and they gathered, and they went home to safety. They were protected from the hail. Those were the protected people. Those are the people who listen to the word of God, believe what it says, and trust Jesus for eternal life. But then those who don't are the next people in verse 21. They're called the perishing people. He that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Well, guess what happened to them the next day? The hail came, and it destroyed all of them, and their cattle, and all the trees, and everything in Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch forth your rod toward heaven. And the Lord sent forth hail. You know what I like about God? He's a man of his word. What he says, he does. You can trust him, you know, because he is a man of his word. I'm a businessman, and there ain't nobody out here that's a man of their word. I'll tell you that right now. I spent my Memorial weekend, I was supposed to be with my family, working, because a plumber was supposed to be there on Saturday, and he didn't show up. Wasn't a man of his word. But the Lord is a man of his word. He said there will be hail tomorrow around this time. And yes, the next day there was hail at that time. Yep, he's a man of his word. Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He says, he magnifies his word above his own name. This word is exalted higher than his own name. That's what I like about the word of God. Notice another thing in here, that the fire, the hail came down, and it was mingled with fire. It was a supernatural hail, because it was mingled with fire. So it wasn't no coincidence. There's that word, coincidence, that I didn't know how to spell yesterday. They didn't want it to think it was a coincidence, because there are coincidences, you know. Tomorrow there's going to be hail. And there just might be hail. So the Lord made sure that they didn't think it was a coincidence, and he mingled hail with fire. When you see that, let me know. I got to come and see it. Notice that it smote throughout all the land, every tree and every beast and every man. Nobody was spared. It smote all the land. It says, when Jesus comes to judge this world as a flaming fire, seeking vengeance on them that know not God and reject the gospel, that they all may be damned who receive not the love of the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Today you should be very thankful to God you're here today, because he loves you and he's allowed you to come here today to hear what he has to say. You know, you should be very thankful you're here today, especially if you're not saved, because he has been so gracious to you that you can hear a message from the word of God from long ago, that he's a man of his word, and that judgment is coming. And you know it's coming today. These things are all just examples for things to come. If you look at the book of Revelation, you will notice these same plagues hit the end times. Exactly the same. But they're the end of time. So you should be very thankful. And to us Christians here, we need to hearken more to the Word of God, to present our bodies living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable unto God. It's the least we can do. And we need to be not conformed unto this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is good and that which is acceptable and the perfect will of God. It's not easy not to conform to this world, man. I know I'm in it too. I'm just the guy up here filling in for Greg today, remember? And I'm preaching out of the Bible, so don't get mad at me. This is Moses' message, not mine. And it was delivered by the Lord himself. It's a reminder to us, God means what he says. It's also a reminder to you, you need to be saved. You need to accept the gift of eternal life today. You need to do that now. And the reason why is because the hail's coming tomorrow. Is there anything stopping you from doing that right now? Anything? Think about it. Maybe there's a couple pleasures you want to get your hands on in the world still. Don't let that get in the way. Jesus says, come and let us reason together. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come and take the water of life freely. All you need to do is come. Come just as you are, a sinner, and he'll save you. Tell him you want the gift of eternal life that he offers. You can tell him in your heart. He's a supernatural God. He's not a little statue that we see on television. He will save you right in that seat you're sitting in right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I want the gift of eternal life. It's as easy as that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, put your name right in that whosoever spot, believeth in him, not behaveth in him, has, right now in the present tense, eternal life. Do that right now. Don't wait on that. Don't wait on that. Tomorrow, the hail could come. And it'll be too late. Thank you. May God bless you today. Father, we thank you for this hour and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that anybody that comes to him can be saved. May we pray, Father, that the story of Moses and the plagues of Egypt is a picture of the world today. There's pleasure in Egypt. There's judgment coming for sin, you know. We ask that anybody here who's not saved would ask Jesus for the gift of eternal life. And those who are saved, we pray for the gospel message. We know the devil wants us to come to church, go to Bible study, break bread, but don't you dare preach that gospel. Because that gospel message is the message where the Lord Jesus is only exalted. And it's the only message that can transform you into him. So we ask you to bless our time now as we travel. Be a blessing at Jean's shower today, Oscar's daughter's graduation party. Take us to our homes in safety. And we pray, Father, that anyone here who has not accepted the gift of eternal life would do so now, as we see the examples in the Bible that the judgment is coming. In Jesus' name, amen.